Joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio is a good friend of the program, my good friend, David Yepsen, former national political reporter and columnist for the Des Moines Register, former director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute, finishing up a fellowship at the University of Chicago Institute of Politics, and the host of Iowa Press. Now, by the way, David, now your time is up. So thank you very much for joining us today.
It's been great being here, Rick.
Seriously, thank you for joining me. Before we begin, I want to address a couple of texters who are responding to Representative Martwick and the proposal for a constitutional amendment for a graduated rate income tax. And people are saying, well, they also should do one about pension reform in Illinois. And I've tried to make this point, is that the Illinois Supreme Court basically ruled that pensions are guaranteed in Illinois for public employees, their contract, what was the conditions when you started employment is what they are when they end employment. So that changing the Constitution to say that that no longer would be the case, ex post facto law. It also would violate the contract clause of the U.S. Constitution. So people wanting a pension reform change, it wouldn't do anything. Number two, since the Supreme Court ruling, all new hires for public employees in the state are in a different pension system. They don't have the same benefits that people are complaining about that are part of the reason that why the pension debt has grown in this state. So we're already addressing that in our various pension systems, public employee pension systems, as a result of that Supreme Court decision. So this desire to have a constitutional change in, on dealing with pensions in Illinois is not a practical solution. It wouldn't do anything because it would not be constitutional at a federal level. So I hope that kind of addresses things. Sorry to take some time away from you, Mr. Yepsen. I want to go to the national Democratic dilemma, impeachment. Growing calls in the Democratic Party. Nancy Pelosi forced to address this in a closed-door caucus session and kind of saying, let's just proceed afoot and see the investigations go forward. And see what they determine. But it's clear, I think she's of a mind that she believes that going forward on impeachment would be something that she thinks Donald Trump wants.
I think the speaker is being a political pragmatist, and she's got members who are very angry at Donald Trump. The goal of both is to get rid of President Trump. And if the Democrats, and Speaker Pelosi's position here is, to me, a pragmatic one of the quickest way to do that is going to be the election. And the Democrats should put their focus on that. And remember when the Republicans impeached President Clinton? It didn't work out well. President Clinton got reelected. The Republicans lost control. People in Republican leadership lost their positions. So I can see the pragmatic political consideration here is focus on the issues. Democrats should be talking about health care, and they should be talking about all kinds of other things that voters care about. I mean, frankly, the average voter is, you know, finds this impeachment business sort of a distraction. It's just not relevant to their daily lives. People are either for polls show most people, a plurality of people don't want this to happen. It's just a distraction from the problems facing the country.
And I can see where it plays into that argument of, you know, they're trying a coup something that gins up the Trump people, that all of this is all about trying to think that I never legitimately won the presidency, and that plays well to his supporters.
Yeah, exactly. And it helps fire up Trump's base. I mean, Trump's got his mission in the 2020 election is going to be turning out his base. And if the Democrats want to whipsaw the impeachment issue, that's going to help President Trump. I mean, it comes down to Democrats.
Isn't it easier if the Democrats were to do things that affect quote, what is his base, where he has failed to deliver on?
Well, sure. I mean, if we start, for example, where I come from, out in Iowa. I mean, rural America is really hurting. And Democrats need to be addressing that, respond to the needs people have. And they've got some winning issues. The problem is, and you see this often in politics, Rick, I know you've seen it. You've got to think with your head and not your heart. And Democrats just have such a passionate dislike for Donald Trump that and hatred almost that, you know, they're not thinking straight. And I think Speaker Pelosi is trying to talk some political common sense into her troops to, you know, to understand their base back home has got to focus on voter turnout and registration and getting people to the polls, that the sort of pragmatic kind of things, and not get sidetracked with this discussion of impeachment, which is going nowhere in the Senate. It'd be a different argument if you thought you could get a conviction in the Senate, but that's not going to happen. So why waste all this political time and energy?
Well, and I'm not sure of the rules of impeachment. If it wouldn't, though, present a greater amount of scrutiny of some of the things that this president has been able to avoid.
But you can do that with the Democrats could do that, and I think Speaker Pelosi is trying to do that. That can happen in Democratic messaging. You can talk about his conflicts of interest. You can talk about influences on his presidency. You can talk about all those things without having an impeachment proceeding and debate going on in the House. I guess what I'm saying is I don't think the Democrats need to go through impeachment proceedings in order to have a discussion about Trump's qualifications and his performance in office. They can have that debate anyway.
We're speaking with David Yepsen, my good friend, who is host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio with my good friend David Yepsen, host of Iowa Press on Iowa Public Television, and finishing up a fellowship at the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics. And David, I guess when I think about, you know, obviously a lot of focus on Iowa already, looking at this Democratic field of, I don't know if it's 23 or 24, or by now it could be up to 36 candidates. is this field going to winnow before the primary?
I think it will winnow some. Some people are going to have trouble raising money to stay in the race, but not a lot. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people run for president. At one level, it's unfortunate because a lot of good U.S. Senate candidates are in this field, and that's a frustration to Chuck Schumer. He'd want some of these people to be running for the Senate in their home states instead of running for president. But to be fair to those candidates, I mean, the prospects are Republicans continue to control the Senate, so you're going to go from being a governor somewhere to sitting in the back seat in the U.S. Senate in the minority party. So a lot of candidates running. It's evidence to me of generational changes, of new energy. In Iowa, it's just all candidates all the time. The campaign has heated up, big crowds for candidates on their initial visits, some real energy. I sort of wonder how everybody's going to sustain this pace.
Me too.
For the next 7 months or whatever it is. The lay of the land right now is Biden in that state is in pretty good shape, just he is nationally. But it reminds me a lot of the 1984 campaign where Walter Mondale was running. And the question was, will he win big enough in Iowa? Will it be an impressive margin? And then secondly, who is going to be his challenger? Who's going to be the alternative? And that turned out to be the second place finisher, Gary Hart, who then went on to give Mondale a real run for his money. I can see that same thing happening in Iowa now. Okay, Biden's going to win. Will it be by a big enough margin? And then who will be the people who are going to be wind up being his leading challengers? Historically, only three or four candidates come out of Iowa with a viable chance in New Hampshire. So that I think is going to be the function of Iowa this time, to winnow the field, as Howard Baker once said. And so a lot of these candidates will be left in the dust with 1%.
Why is Biden so popular in Iowa?
Well, he's run twice before.
Yes.
He spent a lot of time there. And over the years, I've noticed he would drop into the state quietly to attend some friend's funeral. Or things like that, that over the years he has just built a really great following. I think, secondly, Democrats want to win. That's the big issue with caucus-going Democrats. And electability. I've never seen electability as important an issue as it is now. And Biden is seen as someone who could beat Trump. The polls show that. Trump seems to act afraid of Biden. And so Biden is, he's in the unenviable position of having to sit on a lead, and he has to be very careful. That reminds me of Reagan in 80, where Reagan was the front runner, and they had other people nipping at his heels. And so Biden has to run very carefully. He can't afford any mistakes. He's got a lot of questions about his age. So his campaign seems to be handling him the way Reagan's people did in 1980. Let's give the guy plenty of rest. We don't have to do six stops a day. We do a couple. And I think that's going to – Biden's trying to avoid making mistakes.
He made a very interesting point about electability being, you think,
right,
the most important factor for – but when it comes to Democratic constituencies, Democratic voters – how much of that is going back to another thing you said, the heart versus the head?
Right. And that's the conversation that activist Democrats are having among themselves now. They might like somebody's position on some issues, but they know the first task that they've got to have is to oust President Trump. And so that's where the conversation goes around and around between people who say, we in the Democratic Party ought to stand for something. We've got an agenda we need to push on climate change, on health care, and other people saying, yeah, before you're going to get to any of those, you got to get to the White House.
I mean, it's the old, you can't accomplish anything without winning.
Yeah. And Biden
has putting on a good show doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and he's got some things in his past, and there's stuff flying around now. Did he hug and people too much, which is kind of not good for him and right out of the box. But his numbers have gone up. He seems to be doing well on the fundraising front, and it's just as well if you're a candidate with some baggage in your past, issues. You know, Senator Klobuchar has angry with her staff. Let's get, you know, you're better off getting that stuff out of the way early in the campaign, and later on when people start to focus on their choices, that's not news anymore.
I'm going to ask a parochial question here, but I'm curious your take. And I think a lot of people familiar with politics and Midwest politics know Steve King.
Right.
And know of him, Northwest Iowa congressman, very controversial, doesn't know what white nationalism is. You know, that's such a rock-solid Republican congressional district. With Tom Vilsack's wife, I think, you know, mounted an unsuccessful challenge there. Is Steve King in any trouble?
Yes. The party establishment has decided Steve King is a liability. Republican leadership in Washington stripped him of his committee assignments. And he's got, right now he has three other challengers. So it's a four-way primary. In Iowa, if a candidate has to get at least 35% of the vote in a primary to win a nomination outright. If they fail to do so, it goes to a convention. Well, Steve King is in a position where he could probably get 35%. If he's got all his opponents carving up the rest of the field. So the Democratic or the Republican establishment is really trying to get the
centered on one
candidate. A state senator named Randy Feenstra is their choice. Governor Branstad has given Feenstra some money. So that's some housekeeping issues that Republicans have in Iowa right now, is how do they get rid of Steve King? Because, the state is leans Republican right now. It will probably go for Trump, but it's not going to help the Republican cause if Steve King is a sideshow that every Republican candidate has to talk about. Every reporter asks him, what do you think of what Steve King, the last thing he said? And yet candidly, Rick, I mean, I was born and raised in that district, and Steve King represents those, a lot of those people. Yeah, there are a lot of conservative, ultra conservative people in that district.
Kind of like the previous representation we had in DuPage County back in the day, if you know what
exactly,
I mean.
Exactly.
That's David Yepsen, host of Iowa Pressed on Iowa Public Television, fellow at the University of Chicago Institute of Politics. David, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you, especially here in studio.
It's great to be here. Beautiful view, beautiful new studio for you.
And, yeah, beautiful view, and we're on radio.
You're on the radio.
That's what I love.